Welcome and welcome back, everybody, to the OK Grognard Show. Today is Monday, October 2nd, 2023. It's about quarter after 10 a.m. Central in beautiful Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. And today, we're going to take a break from the usual stuff and actually dig into some rules for a change. There was a little discussion going on this last week on AD&D first edition class, but mostly on level limits. And I thought I'd look at both things. I took some images from the Player's Handbook first edition. Yeah, Player's Handbook, pages, 14 and 15, I think. And had a look at those so that I could project them here as we discuss them. But, you know, if you're listening to the audio version of this, just pull out your Player's Handbook. I'm sure you have one because you're cool. And all the cool kids have one. So that's a thing. But, you know, if you don't have one, then follow along as best you can, and we'll see where we all wind up at the end of this. If you pop into the chat, thank you very much. If you have any questions, feel free to answer them. I'll try to get to them. We're not going to be on for long. It's not a big section. I love Australia. It's from my friend Heath from the Yanipa D&D 20. He's down under. He's a wonderful person. He recently went to a toy show down there. He likes to get around to gaming conventions and toy shows and that sort of thing. And his wife is very understanding, so she allows it to happen. And he's a wonderful guy. So who wouldn't? That's all. That's what it is. Anywho, what's the thing we're talking about here? Oh, well, we're talking about the class and level limits on from that first edition handbook. Oh, I know. Let's bring it up on the big old screen over here so that we can really get a good look at it if you're watching. Anyway, there are a couple of tables involved in it. Character race table 1, which has character class limitations, which takes into account the racial stock of characters, as they call it. And juxtaposes that against character class, which includes, of course, druid and the subclass fighter, or rather druid, sorry. It includes cleric and its subclass druid, fighter and its subclasses paladin and ranger, magic user and its subclass illusionist, thief, hey George, and its subclass assassin. See, George pops in right when assassin comes up. And, of course, the subclass monk. It makes a note. Character class names are shown in capital letters. If the class is major, subclasses are shown with the first letter capitalized only. The letter or letters appearing after each class indicate the alignment possibilities of each character class, A meaning any, N meaning neutral only, LG means lawful good, G means good only, N to E means any neutral to any evil alignment, E means evil only, and L means lawful only. A, with an asterisk, a cleric cannot be true neutral unless of the dual druid subclass. It also says a racial stock of characters shows the 7 races of player characters. They're alphabetical from left to right, starting with dwarven, ending with human. And reading down each heading gives quick reference as to what classes each race is able to become in regard to their player character role. A quote-unquote no indicates the race cannot become the character class in question. A quote-unquote yes indicates that the race is able to become the character class in question. Now, remember, hey Henry, how you been? And Hobbsy, welcome. Thanks for dropping in. I am working from home and watching the show just like the good old days of the pandemic. Yeah, Henry, we spent a lot of time. Did a show every day, sometimes upwards of an hour. Looking at this table a little more, character class limitations. In the Dwarven column, from Druid down to Monk, we have can't be a Druid, can't be a Cleric, can be a Fighter. Let me do those parentheticals real quick. Cleric, any, Druid, neutral. Fighter, any, Paladin, lawful, good. Ranger, any kind of good. Magic user, any, illusionist, any. Thief, neutral to evil. That means no good. And assassin, evil only. Monk, lawful only. Down the list, we see Dwarven. Only yes for fighter, thief, and assassin. Down the list for elven, only yes for fighter, magic user, thief, and assassin. We're going to find everything except a halfling can be an assassin. Gnomes, yes only appears for fighter, illusionist, thief, and assassin. Half-elven only has nose for paladin, illusionist, and monk. Sorry, I take that back. Paladin, ranger. No. Sorry, I'm jumping back and forth. Half-elven only has nose for paladin, paladin, illusionist, and assassin. Paladin, illusionist, and assassin. Halflings. Yeses only appear for fighter and for thief. Half-orc. No to druid. Okay, yes for cleric, yes for fighter, yes for thief, and yes for assassin. Humans, of course, are yes all the way down the board. Henry's popping in. He's saying, interesting table. I'm currently playing on 5e campaign Human Illusionist. A young person I spoke to thought my choice of race was interesting. There isn't much reason to play a human in 5e that I can see, but in 1e there were lots of reasons. Indeed, some of them popping up on this table here, on both of these tables. George says, just joined to West March's 2E KOTB campaign on Fantasy Grounds. KOTB. Knights of the B? What is the B? Dwarf, fighter, cleric. I must know. That looks so familiar, but I can't off the top of my head. 8-player limit. The graveyard has one so far. Keeping the Borderlands, of course. Keep on the Borderlands. Thank you. Some reason I started reading that, and I wanted to go to dinner table at the end, so I started with Knights of the... Anyway, keep on the Borderlands 2E campaign. Interesting. Very cool indeed, Henry. So that's that table. Interesting. I think we have to remember the argument that I was seeing a lot of, it was in a 1E Facebook group, was that they shouldn't have any limitations. They should be able to be anything they want. There shouldn't be any no's on this table, according to the general opinion of a handful of people in it, right? People in a 1E group were right into nerfing the limits of character class choices for the various non-human races. And I don't think they get that the whole idea of 1E was that it's a humanocentric setting, generally speaking, because obviously there's no definite setting. Some might say Greyhawk is the default setting, but I don't necessarily adhere to that. I started my Grimbald setting in 1974 when we started playing with the three little booklets and continued on through first edition. But it was always, I guess, some thinking that humans were the primary race on the planet, and the different various subclasses, or rather sub-races, demi-humans, non-human races, species, were elsewhere on the planet, and since the focus was on humans, they were in the minority no matter which one you looked at. I personally didn't have half-elves or half-orcs. I didn't like the idea of the implications of what half-orcs, how half-orcs came to be, because there was a rapacious tone to the idea, and I didn't want that in my campaign, and so it was easier just to say, species, there are no mules. Species don't have the ability to breed with one another, period. They can do a lot of things, but that's not something they can do, so let's leave that off camera in any event, as it were, off the stage, in the background. I should also say, second part of this, character race table 2, class level limitations is kind of interesting because it does include parentheticals for non-player character examples of some of these class race combinations right out of the gate. It says, yes, you can have a Dwarven Cleric, but only as an NPC, and it can only go up to 8th level. So the no up in the first table, as far as Dwarves and Clerics are concerned, only pertains to player characters. 9th level Dwarves, and I'll reference some of the footnotes as I go here. No Druids, as we said before. Fighters, Dwarves can go up to 9th level. But Dwarven Fighters with less than a 17 strength are limited to 7th. Those with 17 strength are limited to 8. And with an 18 strength, you can rise to as high as a 9th level fighter as a dwarf. Again, unlimited across the board for thieves of any race, human or otherwise, except for half-orcs, limited to 8th level. And thieves with a dexterity of 17, limited to 6. Those with a dexterity of 17 are limited to 7th, or less than 17, 6th. And to rise to 8th level as a half-orc thief, you have to have an 18 dexterity. I think it's worth noting, most of these are level limits that are lower than the number on the table, usually down to less than 17. It's 2 below the number, and only on an 18 can you rise to this number, such as a 9th level Dwarven Assassin, but it doesn't limit it in this case. Elven Clerics can be as high as 7th level, but only as NPCs. The 7th level Elven Fighter is only permitted with an 18 strength. And the 17 strength ones to 6, under 17, 5th level limit. The magic user for an elven character, up to 11. But in this case, intelligence of 18 only gets you there. 17 will only get you to 10. And the 16 or below will only get you to 9. 10th level limit for assassins for elves. 8th level limit for assassins for gnomes, starting at the bottom this time. 7th as an illusionist, again, an 18 intelligence is what you want. to get there. Gnome Illusionist. Sixth level, if you have a 17, 16 or under, only up to fifth. Gnome Illusion, or Gnome Clerics can be in a setting, but only up to 7th level and only as NPCs. Half-Elvins have a little more range. 5th level Cleric, no limitations as far as the wisdom is concerned. Fighter up to 8th level with an 18 strength, 17 up to 7th level, 16 or under up to 6th. So too for Rangers, for Half-Elven Rangers. But, that is one of those strange things. Well, half-elven fighters, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. There's a lot of strangeness to magic users as well. I see. The rangers are limited with the strength as well. Up to 8th level with an 18, 7 with a 17 strength. And 16 or below strength, only up to 6th level. Magic users of half-elven stock up to 8th level with an 18 intelligence, 17 intelligence, limited to 7. You'll notice a lot of these even numbers let you get a little higher, especially when it comes to spells. When they're even numbers, you're not getting that next big batch of spell levels. You're not progressing to the next spell level. It's notable that second level spells come in, generally speaking, at third level. The odd levels usually get you an advance. Third level spells in at fifth level of experience. So when you see a choice for there to be an even level limit, they're saying, well, you're not going to get additional spells as a magic user going to 8th level as a half-elf with an 18 intelligence, but you will get an extra hit die. So there's that. And you will get some more lower level spells, but you're not going to get to that crucial 9th level where you get 5th level magic user spells. Assassins can get up to 11th level as a half-elven character, no limits there. Halflings can be a druid, but not a cleric, as an NPC up to 6th level. 6th level as a fighter with an 18 strength. Again, 5th level with a 17, 4th or below with a 16. Unlimited for the thief, no for the assassin, and so forth. Half-orcs can be a 4th level cleric. No wisdom dictates on that. 10th level is a fighter. Strength no matter what. Thief is limited to 8th level for a half-orc. And dexterity is something to do with that. 7th level with a 17. 18 gets you to 8th. 16 or below limits you to 6th level as a thief. Unlimited for assassins for the half-orc. But they are meant to be evil in a lot of cases. One obviously knows that as an assassin, that's always the case. In any event, that's all of that. There was some notes regarding the character race table 2. Parentheses exist only as non-player character. We went over that. Numbers not in parentheses indicate the maximum table level attainable. We went over that. Unlimited. We went over that. But that's all been explained as we looked at the table. So what do we get from all of this? What is the big deal? Well, I think the big deal here is that the rules were written in mind because there were a lot of built-in perks to being various non-human races. And good for them. That is a bonus you get right out of the gate. But picking that non-human race, the thing you choose early on, the advantage you choose early on, if you progress to higher levels in a campaign, is going to limit you. So take something up front, lose something in the back end forever. And that's supposed to keep the focus on humans in the setting. And I don't know. I like the idea. I always preferred humana-centric settings, my own settings that way. I prefer playing in them when I get the chance. The baseline in a lot of people say first edition didn't have any rules balance. Well, here it is right here, right? There is a balancing of the classes and the races in these two tables that early on might make humans a little weaker than non-human races, but in the long run, humans are more flexible and can last longer, and that is their bonus. So it's a trade-off, is what I'm saying, and I think it's a fair trade-off. I like the trade-off. I like how it works out. I also like to say, too, that people will say that there's no balance in the classes. Magic users are really weak early on. Fighters are always strong. Although, compared to magic users later on, they seem weaker. And, you know, that's true. It's very true. But I think the point that gets missed by a lot of people is that the balance is a bigger picture balance. It's a campaign level balance. We're talking about balance over the course of a campaign. Some are weak early, some are strong later, so on and so forth. And what you would expect to see from characters level to level to level isn't always going to be balanced back and forth at any given level. It's not that kind of balance. So 1E was written clearly with campaigns in mind, while a lot of other D&D rules were written with immediacy in mind, with the individual levels at any given time we're looking for balance. I think that's very true, not so much in second edition, although that started creeping in with some of the skills and powers and that sort of thing. But from third edition onward, it's pretty obvious that the rules promoted a balance in the short term for immediacy, for games at any given time when we play. You're expecting a lot more balance in the game. So, there you go. That's all I wanted to say. I think that's where we'll leave it. And we'll say, hey, thank you very much, everybody, for popping in today. I do appreciate your company and your comments. I also want to say, this has been the OK Grognard Show, where we're talking about first edition AD&D class and level limits on this beautiful day. The show streams live on Twitch each Monday at 10 a.m. Central or thereabouts, and is then archived on YouTube. Comment, subscribe, like, follow, all of those other things. It's much appreciated. Thanks to our Patreon supporters, Tom Tullis of Fat Dragon Games, Carlos Leising of Castle Entertainment, Heath Farndon of the End of a D&D 20, Dave O'Brien of Four Quacks Games, and, as always, Shane Bradley, DM extraordinaire. This has been the OK Grognard Show from beautiful Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. Thank you once again, and bye-bye.